Do you break the law? Let me be more specific. Have you ever sped or ran a stop sign on your bike? Let me be even more specific. Have you ever at any time gone over the speed limit as you were driving a car? If you've driven for many years, yes, be honest. Sometimes you drive around town, you speed, you don't even know it. A few weeks back, I drove 4 hours from here to Destin, and it was stressful to keep up with all the speed limit changes. Tyson was crying, Braxton's wanting to play his Nintendo, and we got to some small back roads, and it seems like every minute there was a different speed limit. But I noticed something. As much as I pay attention and as much as I care, I can't be perfect. And speaking of perfect, let's look at what it means to be perfect or to try when it comes to God's law, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are one of the most misinterpreted things in God's Word. What I mean is, like, even Christians don't understand. So they just don't know what to do with them. I talked with a lady a few months ago, and our conversation turned to Jesus. I asked if she went to church or read her Bible. And out of the blue, she says, "Well, I try to live by the Ten Commandments." Wow, that really made me take a step back. I mean, that's a great guide to strive for, but God never gave us his law to save us. And many people are going to miss heaven because they're trying to live by the Ten Commandments. So let's go deeper into God's law and God's grace and where the Ten Commandments will fit into our lives today. Back to our speeding example. If you've ever sped and broken the law, does that mean you're a lawbreaker? You might say, "I mean, come on, Miss Brooke. I might have ran one stop sign on my bike last year, but does that really make me a lawbreaker? I mean, aren't real lawbreakers those horrible murderers or those mean old drug dealers?" I mean, I heard a quote a while back that the first time you cheat, you become a cheater for life. And that's true. Because you see, if you have sped even one time, you are now considered being a speeder and a lawbreaker for life. That's all it takes, one time. For whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point, they're guilty of breaking all of it. So when God gave us the Ten Commandments to the people, and here in Exodus 20, this is what he was wanting to express to them. The law can't be kept perfectly by anyone at any time, ever. Think of it this way. Do you think that any human in the history of the world has ever kept the entire Ten Commandments perfectly for their entire lives? No. Most kids told a lie after their first words came out of their mouth. You see, we all came into this world with a sinful nature, and whether we like it or not, or agree with it, we sin. It's who we are. So you might be saying, "Well, what's the point of the Ten Commandments if nobody can keep them?" God gave us his law to show us who we really are and that we can't keep it, but his law is perfect and we're not. And think about this mental picture. You've been out working in the yard, planting a bush, okay? You get a little dirt on your face, so you head to the bathroom to get clean. There's two things in the bathroom, in the vanity area. You need the sink, the mirror, and the mirror. You need both of them to get clean. First, you need the mirror to show you you're dirty and exactly where you're dirty, and then you need the water to wash the dirt away. Boys, the mirror is God's law. Okay, think of that example. The Ten Commandments, okay? The mirror's God's law, the Ten Commandments. You can't wash your face with that mirror. It's not going to get you clean. It's just going to show you where the dirt, that you're dirty, that you have sin in your life. But to deal with the sin that the mirror shows you, you're going to need water. And the water is an example of Jesus Christ. You see, no matter how hard you try to focus on being perfect, you're going to sin and you're going to break God's law. The quicker that you accept it, the quicker you can embrace God's grace. God knew we couldn't keep his law, and he gave us a way, but he gave us a way to wash our dirty faces. He sent his only son, Jesus. Later in this chapter, we're going to see God follow the giving of his law with specific directions on how to build an altar to him. Because sin requires payment, and a holy God cannot and will not accept sin or be in the presence of sin. It has to be dealt with. So in the Old Testament, the people had to offer the sacrifices to God. Remember how they would kill innocent animals and they would offer them to God as payment for the sins in their life? But that was before Jesus. So now we have Jesus and he hung on the cross, and the sacrifices are no longer needed because he was the ultimate perfect sacrifice. The precious blood of Jesus Christ will cover every sin ever committed in our past and in our now and then in our future. If you admit you're a sinner, that is, you have broken God's law even once, then you realize that your sin needs to be, that sin, you need that sin to be covered by a sacrifice before you can approach a perfect God. To do it, it's simple and easy, and it's a gift from God. Single biggest gift ever. Simply admit you're a sinner, and what Jesus did on the cross can wash and will wash away your sins. His death and him coming back to life will wash away your sins like a spot of dirt on your face. And after you call upon Jesus as your Lord, when God looks at you, he will not see the dirt of your sin, but only the cleanliness where Jesus washed you white as snow. The law was never meant to save. God sent his one and only Son to do that. So when you see a speed limit sign today, let it remind you of God's law and that it can be kept perfectly, cannot be kept perfectly. And as a result, say a prayer of thanksgiving to Jesus because he came as the perfect sacrifice to wash away the dirt of our sin against God's law.